to see all of you this morning. Lord's blessings to all of us together as we open our hearts to his word. Good to see you, Josh. Good to have you back. Praise the Lord. Yes, I was blessed this morning already and being here and just seeing the Lord just fitting things together. It's a blessing to see that. Maybe we could kneel together if you can, and we'll pray together. Oh, our Father God, we call upon you here today and thank you for your mercies that you've shown to us as we were singing. Lord, you've been good to us. You have cleansed us from our sins. You've washed us, made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the hope that's beyond the grave, Lord. Thank you that the grave doesn't need to have a sting, but that you've taken that sting away. And Lord, we thank you this morning that you have went the way before us. And Lord, that today you, again, you want to teach us and instruct us in the way of righteousness and godliness. And we invite you to do that. We invite your presence here and your spirit to be among us, ministering to the very needs of our hearts. And Lord, that you would encourage us who are maybe have hands that are hanging down. Lord, would you encourage us and strengthen the feeble knees? Lord, I pray that you would help us to make straight paths for our feet. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be steadfast. And Lord, we pray for your hand upon us in these things, Lord. And purge us and try us. And Lord, make us to be what you want us to be. We want to be soldiers of the cross and be a faithful people, Lord. So we thank you. We praise you. Bless those who are not here this morning. And we just pray for your grace upon them. And Lord, that you would be near them. And just guide us and lead us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometime we could use another black marker, as you can see. Maybe that'll help us remember that. Passing on the mantle. I'd like to rehearse just a bit from the previous messages on Elijah, the life of Elijah. Elijah's been an inspiration to me. I don't know if it's been to you or not, but even just looking into his life and so forth. It's just been an inspiration to see his faith and his walk with God and his desire to do God's will, and also to, as he looked at the children of Israel, he was a prophet there, and to bring the children of Israel to a good place, to a place of, again, walking with God, because they had departed. They had departed and were serving Baal and a mixture of Baal and maybe some in the temple of God, but they were also serving Baal. So he prophesied in quite a time of his life. And thank you. That was quick. So it was a blessing to see Elijah and how he responded in the situations that came his way. And Elijah was a man of prayer. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. 3 years didn't rain. Israel had fallen into that idolatry, and God was trying to get their attention, and that's how he tried to get their attention. Elijah was fed by the brook by the ravens there, and then he was sent by God to this widow and her son. And you know the story, how that God miraculously kept the flour and the oil supplied right through the famine that was taking place. You see, Elijah wasn't exempted from the famine either. He had to endure the famine just like everyone else. And then we know the story of how the widow's son died. And what a test that was for her, you know, to think about her son passing away, and she sought Elijah's help. And Elijah, again, a man of prayer, prays for this boy. And he revives. God brings him back. And he restores the son to the widow. And then going on, we see Elijah gathering the people to Mount Carmel. And there God, it was the God who answered by fire. That was the true God. The God who answers by fire. If God be God, then let's serve him. And if Baal is God, then let's serve him. And Elijah was just that way, bringing the people to a point of decision. And we looked at six lessons we can learn. First, we looked at, is my altar broken down? And talking about prayer. Secondly, we looked at, am I seeking only God's glory? That was one thing that was really standing out to me as I looked at that story of Elijah. You know, Elijah could have been kind of, you know, going like this, you know, bringing glory to himself, but it wasn't any of that. It was, he wanted God to be glorified. He wanted God to show himself by that fire coming down and showing the people that he was the true God. It wasn't about Elijah. It was about God and who God was. Thirdly, we looked at, has the fire of God fallen on my life? And fourthly, how am I responding to the fire of God? Is there worship, praise, and awe, and a love for God? Fifthly, am I purging my life of the hindrances? Talking about the 850 prophets of Baal that were purged from their duties, and they were purged permanently because Elijah slew them. They were hindrances in the life of the children of Israel. Sixthly and lastly, am I revived? And God will send an abundance of rain, and how the rain then fell again. And then a month ago, we looked into the life of Elijah again. What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah was very discouraged. He was very down in the dumps. And we looked at that, how Elijah was tired and discouraged. He sat down under the juniper tree. And we do the same sometimes, don't we? We find a juniper tree and we sit down and just, God, I'm done. Just take my life now. And that's how Elijah was. He felt alone. He had lost purpose. And he finds himself in the cave at Mount Sinai. And there he experienced an earthquake. There was a mighty wind that came through, fire, and then a still small voice. And Elijah heard that still small voice. And God gave him some clear instructions of what he should do next. Let's turn in our Bibles now to 1 Kings. That's where we're going to pick up. In 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to look at the instruction that God gave Elijah here in the cave. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 15, and the Lord said unto Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And then if you drop down to verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Passing on the mantle. Here was Elijah. Elijah was told by God that he should go and anoint Elisha to be king, or to be the next prophet in his stead. Elijah, we don't have a lot of record here as to what Elijah's age was and all of that, but I anticipate that he was coming to the end of his own life and so forth, and he was needing to pass on the calling and responsibility that had been upon him to Elisha. That was God ordained that he should do that. And this mantle, I don't know what it looked like, and I'm sure it didn't look like this, but just for sake of demonstration maybe, and the sake of a little bit of a visual for us. Let's see if I can unfold this here. The mantle, if you look it up, it was something they put on their outer garments. There was various of the prophets that wore mantles. Sorry, I'm having difficulty here. Thing really sticks together. But this mantle was given, was for the prophets, and if you read through the book of the various books there, Samuel wore a mantle. It talks about Samuel wearing one, and Job was wearing a mantle, as well as Ezra. And I don't know how they wore them and so forth, but the prophets were often where they would wear a mantle. That was their, it was a sign of their calling of God upon their life. And so I don't know how this all went, but here was Elisha out in the field, and he was plowing, it says, with the yoke of oxen. And well, that was astounding to me. I like how specific things get sometimes, you know, as you read through Scripture. But it was 12 yoke of oxen. I don't know if you've ever seen oxen plowing, but I wonder what for plow this Elisha was pulling. Because it's kind of a side note, but because one big ox can pull a one bottom plow, and he was leading 12 of them. He was with the 12th one. He had, must have been quite a sight to see him leading these oxen. And he's out there doing his job, and it reminds me a little bit of how King David was anointed to be king, and when Samuel was to anoint him, and where was Samuel, or where was David? He was out tending the sheep. He was out there taking care of the sheep. That's what he was doing. And he was called in and then anointed to be king. And I thought about Elisha here. He was just doing the thing that he was called to do. He was taking care of his father's land. He was going about his father's business, and just plowing. It specifically mentions his father's name there, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And here comes this man, Elijah, and he casts his mantle on him. Be nice if you could come up here for a minute, Jared. Can you do that? So Elijah just casts his mantle on him and walks. Seems like he keeps walking, because Elisha goes after him and says, "Oh, let me first go back and kiss my father and my mother goodbye." Now somehow Elijah got his mantle back, because we'll read more, so I'll get my mantle back here. Elisha was probably a bit younger, I would imagine, than Elijah. Being a successor for Elijah, we'll read here in a little bit, we'll read some more about how that there was, it was not unusual for this kind of thing to happen. And even what Stephen shared this morning in the opening, how that Jesus came along and called to Peter and called to John, James and John, and told them to come follow him. That was not an unusual thing. And back in the day, for a prophet to do that, to have a following, to have those who were they were mentoring, and as we read through Kings here, we'll see more of this in Kings where there were called what they called sons of the prophets, and it didn't mean that they were their offspring, but it simply meant they were disciples. They were disciples of the prophets, and Jesus had himself 12 disciples. But there was many prophets as well in Israel back in the day. And I don't know if Elijah was mentoring all of them or not back in the day, but it seems like as we read through Elisha's life then, we see that there was prophets, that they were almost in a communal together, where they had more than a number of them. In fact, they were outgrowing their place, and they needed a larger place. And we could read through that story, but we're not going there this morning. So it wasn't uncommon that the prophets had disciples that they were training. The mantle was a symbolic of the call of God upon their lives. Symbolic of when Elijah cast his mantle on Elisha, it was symbolic of what Elijah was standing for. And now I'm passing that on to you, that you would stand for the same. Elijah's values, Elijah's obedience to God, Elijah's passion to bring the people of Israel back to God. Elijah, I'm calling you to do that. Elijah's faith in God, and it seemed Elisha understood what was happening. He was willing to take the mantle. He didn't throw the mantle off in the dirt and stomp it down. He was willing to take the mantle. Although he wanted to bid his family farewell, which is what he did. You know, it doesn't say much then about the two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, in the next phase of their time together. It doesn't give us much indication of what was going on. And I don't know how accurate my side column is, but it gives me some dates here. And also, as I looked into it, it seems like it was probably somewhere between 7 and 10 years yet before Elijah went up in the whirlwind, that Elisha had this time with his master, knowing that he was to be his successor. We read that in 2 Kings 3:11. We get just a little bit of a glimpse of what was happening between the two. And this was Jehoshaphat was king, and there was an army that had come up against them, and he was seeking some counsel from God and from the prophets. And he asked this question, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. So we get just a little bit of a glimpse of the servanthood that Elisha had towards Elijah as he had that mantle cast upon him. Now let's turn over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2, and we'll read the first 18 verses. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha, from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethlehem. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. There it was, the sons of the prophets there. They came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together. And he smote the water. Smote the water. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. That was the second time that Jordan divided, wasn't it? First time was for the children of Israel, and the second time was for Elijah and Elisha to go across. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with us servants, 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he sent. And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought three days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? That's quite a story, isn't it? But I just am so intrigued how that Elisha, he knew Elijah was going to be taken away. And there was something that Elisha felt a need of, that Elijah had. And he not only asked for a portion of that, but he asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. To me, that's inspiring. And God granted that request to Elisha. And Elisha took up the mantle that fell from Elijah as he ascended to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha used the mantle just as he had seen Elijah do. He used the mantle in the same way. That's how he started his work, his ministry, the same as Elijah had done. And I wonder this morning, you know, we could discuss a lot of the details in all of this about Elisha and Elijah and so forth. But is there something about the passing of the mantle that we should be gleaning from? Is there something there that we should be learning from? Is there something there that we could learn from? Has God also given us a command, maybe, that we should also be passing on the mantle and what it stands for? Is there a mantle that we have as parents that God wants us to pass on to our children? And that's where I'd like to take the rest of the message as we look at this instance of Elijah and Elisha. What is the mantle? There's two aspects here I want to look at. If we look at Elijah there and how he cast that mantle on Elisha, there was two things that happened. Elijah needed to do that, to cast that mantle, but Elisha also needed to receive it. And we just like to look at those two things this morning. What is the mantle? What is the mantle that maybe God wants us to pass on? As parents, especially so. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. I think there's something in this for us. And it's not that we don't know this or understand this, but if I could just stir us up, if I could just revive the spirit within us concerning these things. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I would like to read the first 9 verses here. Now these are the commandments and the statutes. This was at the end of Moses' life. And in a sense, Moses was also passing the mantle on. It says, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I wonder if there's a command in there for us of the same. That we should teach our children the Word of God. That we would teach them diligently to our children. That we would talk of them as we sit in our house, as we walk by the way, as we go about our day-to-day life. that we communicate with our children the principles, the values that God has set forth. I'd like to also turn over to the book of Psalms in chapter 78. In chapter 78, and verse 1 again, to verse 8. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Look, there's that generation where the fathers are telling their children. We will not hide them from their children, and showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. By the way, that's four generations there. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and religious and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, there's a reason why God wants us as parents to be passing on. And I want to say passing on the mantle to our children. There's a reason for that. In verse 7, there's a couple key words there. That they would set their hope in God. I think that's number one reason we should pass on the mantle to our children. That they would set their hope in God. Secondly, and not forget the works of God. Talk about the works of God, just like we did this morning. You know, talking about what God has done and what God is doing. Passing that on to our children. They not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. But keep his commandments. What beautiful words. And not become a stubborn and rebellious generation. You take that mantle away, and what do you have left but a stubborn and rebellious people? If we don't teach our children, if we don't instruct them in the ways of God, this is how it'll turn out. They'll become a stubborn and rebellious generation. What mantle is God longing to see us pass on to the next generation? I'd like to provoke our minds a little that direction. We could call it a lot of different mantles, and I think we will do that this morning. But I'd just like to make a list up here, actually, and you help me out with that. What are things that God impressed upon your heart with your children that you want, that you really want? This is something I really want my children to get. What for mantle would you like to cast over your sons and daughters? What for mantle is that that you would like to cast over them? That they would carry the weight of that. And they would carry the vision of that. They would represent what you stood for. Just like Elijah. What are those things? I just like to provoke our minds, yes. The fear of God. I had another one there. Keep them coming here. The love of God. Love for God. It's good. We could add a walk with God. Others. Love for singing. Others. Love for the Word of God. Others. Develop convictions. Others. The cross. How should we word that? Yeah, I almost wrote that down. Denying of self and taking up the cross. Others. A respect for those older, a respect for others. Respect for authority. That includes a lot right there. Obedience. No excuses. We heard about that this morning, didn't we? Others. Knowledge. Knowledge. Understanding. Wisdom. All about the world? No. About the things of God, right? About God's Word. And how to apply it in my life. Others. Discerning of what? Discerning of the Holy Spirit. John would teach us that we should try the spirits to see whether they are of God or not. And he actually talks quite a bit about discerning. You know, discerning even just what is good and right. When our discernment dissipates, we lose out fast. When our discernment for between good and evil dissipates. Humility. Servanthood. Being a servant to others. Is it enduring hardness? Willing to what? Full surrender. Full surrender to God. No regard for the cost. There was another one. Prayer. Prayer life. It's good. What was this one? Needing of salvation. Being born again. It's kind of included in some of the earlier ones there, but I think it's a good one to put in here. Being thankful. Thankful. Faithful. Did you say faithful? Well, we want them to be thankful too, right? Faithful. It's good. It's good. Should we come into our prayer life, right? Spending time with God. We could go on and on, couldn't we? There's a few others that I have down here as well. I think maybe we should put a few of these up here. Things that maybe we find missing in our day. If I spelled that right. Integrity. Things like purity. Faith. Some of those things are just things that we need, right? Love for the truth. We have a lot of loves here, don't we? Love for God's word. Truth. Sometimes we think loving the truth is all about loving the word of God, and it is. There's another aspect that opened up in my heart here some time ago, that loving the truth is also when my brother points something out in my life that I don't see, and love the truth. I don't see that, but still love the truth. We could call this a mantle, each one of them. The mantle of the fear of God. How do we teach that? How do we instruct? How did Elijah teach Elisha? It wasn't just, he had the mantle that he cast over him. But Elisha, somehow he grabbed a hold of those things that were dear in Elijah's heart. And I wonder this morning if we could grab a hold of those things that are precious in the eyes of God as we think about casting these upon our children, our own offspring. To pass the mantle, it takes that giving, and in Elisha's case, it was that receiving, a willingness to embrace. And I think these are the very things. Think as we as parents, and I know that we as parents, I sense that here. These are the things that we want to convey on to our children. These are the passions and the burdens that we have. Do we always get it done? No, we don't always get it done. And that's why I'd like to stir us up in these areas. And how can we do these things? Well, it's not in our own strength. I don't know that we're going to sit here and talk about all the how-tos of conveying these things on. I think we have some clear instructions from the Word of God itself telling us, talk about them. When you're sitting down, when you're walking by the way, talk about them. Talk about these things. Talk about integrity. Talk about purity. Talk about being faithful, thankfulness. Talk about loving God with all your heart. Talk about these things. Talk with your children about being born again and what that means. Communicate. Share. Draw them out. It's all ways of passing on the mantle. Even just talking about the fear of God. You know, we can talk and talk, though. And I think especially about young children, I think it's important for us to teach them the fear of God. And one of the things of the fear of God simply is that there's consequences for sin. There's consequences for wrongdoing. And when we as parents, we just let things slide because we don't want to deal with it, we're not teaching the fear of God. Secondly, the second part of this passing on of the mantle reflects to what we're talking about here this morning, reflects on the children, on the offspring. There is a place, there is a need, it's important that we think about what our parents are trying to communicate to us. I remember not always understanding the choices that my parents made as we were growing up, and what we were allowed to do and what we weren't allowed to do, and so some of those things. We didn't always understand what that was. Today, I understand it a whole lot better than I did back then. Something I remember my father, that he said to us different times, to us as children, sometimes with tears in his eyes. This is what he said, talking about him and mom, and he said, "We don't mind if you pass us up spiritually. Go for it. We don't mind if you pass us up. Go beyond where we are. You have a much better start than we had." And I think we could say that for every one of you children sitting in this room. You have a much better start than any one of your parents have had. You have all kinds of potential to go beyond us where we are spiritually in a good way. And I think about Elisha when he asked for that double portion. I'd like for you to have a vision like that, children. That you have a vision of a double portion of what Elijah had, of what your parents have had, what they wanted to convey to you, a double portion. A heart, when you sense in your father and your mother a heart that they have for holiness and godliness and purity, that you would just double that and have a passionate heart, because it's missing. It's missing, isn't it? Isn't that something that's really getting missing today? We see the very opposite of it, where children are departing from the faith. They're leaving behind all the things that they've been taught and instructed in, even from the Word of God. And it's a shame. Embrace the mantle that your parents are casting upon you is what I'd like to look at in this second part. Embracing the mantle. Young people, we have up here, it says, being fully surrendered to God, not regarding the cost. I would encourage you, young people, go all out for God. You have so much. You have good parents. Some of you sit there almost in denial of that. Let me explain. You have good parents. They have a good heart. They want to pass on what God has taught them from His Word. And they want you to prosper. They want you to love God. They want you to be passionate about the things of God, the things that really matter. And it's so easy for us just to start following our peers rather than what our parents have tried to teach us. I'm not sitting here or standing here saying that our parents have been perfect, because I'm not a perfect parent, and I don't think, is there any perfect parents in this room? I would like to see your hand promptly, but I didn't see any go up, because we all realize we're not. And you as young people, you'll realize that one day, Lord willing, that you're not the perfect parent either. But I just like to encourage us as young people towards embracing the mantle that your parents are placing over your shoulder. You may not always understand it either, right at first. But you know, a willing heart, it goes a long way in finding the will of God in these things. A willing heart. you know, Dad, I don't understand why you're making me do this. I just don't understand. Is that okay? Is that okay to not understand? I think there's a place for that. I think we as fathers, I think it should be our goal to help them understand. But it doesn't always, it's hard. Young people, do you know it's hard sometimes to just lay out exactly in detail so that you can understand why we don't feel good about some things? That's difficult sometimes as fathers. And you'll find it that way too. Children, young people, here's some cues. Here's some things that you can take in embracing the mantle of all these things right here. You heard it. Your parents were giving me this list. The fear of God, love for God, walking with God, love for singing, love for God's word, love for truth, developing convictions. You read it all the way down. Just think of that as a mantle, each one of those things that your parents are trying to help you understand and placing upon your life. Learn to appreciate direction. That's embracing the mantle. Learn to appreciate direction. Embrace the things that your parents are trying to teach you. Embrace them. Love them. You know what embracing means? You know, give it a big hug. Yeah. You might not quite understand why your parents are saying what they are, but in your heart, give it a big hug. I want to embrace that. I want to understand what they're trying to say. Ask advice from your parents. That's a way to embrace it. Ask about the whys that are on your mind. Embracing the mantle is to give yourself, give your heart to your parents, even though you may see faults. Maybe they've hurt you. You know, those are things we can start, and we can unravel some of those hurts and some of those feelings. I had those. I had hurts growing up. I developed into bitterness. And until God laid his finger, I didn't even know it was there, but God laid his finger on that area of my heart. And I was able to go clear those things, clear that hurt, and start embracing what my parents wanted to teach me. Honor and respect your parents. That's in the Word of God, isn't it? Being open with mom and dad about the struggles in our lives, in your life. These are ways to embrace the mantle that they're trying to pass on to you. You know, if Elisha would have just hardened himself, said, well, I'm busy, you know, I got these 12 yoke of oxen, and dad wants his field plowed, and I got to get this thing done, you know. And he just can't spare me. I'm sorry. Here it is. Take it back. How would Elisha's life have turned out anyway? Quite different than it did. Be open with your parents. Build a relationship with them. You know, that building a relationship is two-sided. Your parents want it, and you children can inspire them towards it. It needs to go two ways, building a relationship. Do your part in talking and sharing. Here's a good one for us to think about, children, young people. You see, I was a child not that long ago. Remember that one day you may be the parent. How would you want your children to respond to you? Just think about that. That helps us so much, doesn't it? If we consider, well, how would I want my children to respond to me? And remember this, even Ecclesiastes tells us to remember some things. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, right? Remember that you're only young once. Now the world wants to take that and just throw away any mantle that is on the child. Oh, just throw that away. No, remember that you're only young once. There are many that sit that would desire to go back and do it over. If they could just go back and be children again and honor and respect their parents like they know they should have. That's history now. It wasn't done. We're only young once, young people. Children, you're only young once. Develop a relationship with your parents. Love their direction in your life. Love God. Love the Bible. Love people. Time is too short and eternity is too long to fritter your time away in the things that you don't have value. Time is too short and eternity is too long. Jesus taught us that the way to God is a narrow way. It's a straight and narrow way, the way to God. Where does the Broadway lead? Does anybody know? It leads to destruction, separation from God. That's where the Broadway leads. Where everyone else is going. Everyone else is on that road. Why can't I be on that road? It doesn't lead to the same place that we really want to go. Jesus taught that the way to God is narrow. Choose the narrow way that leads to life. You know, the most fulfilled life is the one who is sold out to God. That's the most fulfilled life. You can try to find your fulfillment in a lot of other things these days. There's a lot of other things that are grabbing for our attention. But they don't bring life, and they don't bring fulfillment in life. But a life that is surrendered to God brings fulfillment. If you want to be steadfast with God, I believe that's going to be a crucial aspect. It'll be vital for us. To be sold out to God. You know, there's another aspect that sometimes hinders us in receiving the mantle. And that is that we react to our parents. We see their faults, see their failings, we see they're not measuring up. Maybe it's hypocrisy you see. And you might see hypocrisy. Maybe you do. Does that excuse you before God? Does that excuse you? You know, I've heard it, and you've heard it. Go out witnessing, passing out tracts. No, I don't want to. I'm good. There's too many hypocrites in church. Excuses. Appreciated that thought. Excuses. How well will that stand? At judgment day. Excuses. I'd just like to wrap this up here this morning. Parents, we have a mantle to pass on to our children. It's all these mantles. I believe it's not just a suggestion that God would have that we would pass these things on to our children. But a command. Pass them on to your children. Let's have a vision of what this mantle looks like. What are we aiming for? And remember this, parents. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Parents, we need to remember that. For without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. That should put us on our knees, parents, together in seeking the face of God for the hearts and lives of our children. I don't know if I can communicate the burden that lies on my heart there. For without me, you can do nothing. Children, what will you do when your parents are dead and gone? Will you carry the same vision? Will you carry the same burdens that your parents carried? Will you, like Elisha, pick up the mantle they have left behind and be faithful to God? Will you do that? Let's pick up the mantle. I don't know how long I'll have my parents with me or my in-laws, but can we pick up the mantle that they have tried to leave and place on our shoulders and pick that up to follow God, to be faithful and steadfast for God? That's the challenge. That's a burden on my heart. I believe that's a burden on God's heart. And what do we need to do that? I think we need to have a vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. Our children will perish unless we have that vision of passing these mantles on.